Welcome to our Fabric Scraps podcast. Every once in a while, we like to do a special podcast as a conversation that fills out some of the nooks and crannies that we just couldn't quite fit into our Sundays. And so I'm here. This is Greg Meyer.
I'm Chris Tripolino.
And I'm Melissa Locke.
Yeah, so we've got some stuff that's been itching that we want to scratch with you guys. We're talking about something called, also known as God. We're trying to acknowledge the fact that those three letters, G-O-D, are not big enough to begin to capture what we're talking about when we're thinking about God. Mm-hmm. And it's not only inadequate, they're also highly compromised because I think a majority of society today is either turned off or tuned out to anything as soon as that G-O-D word pops up because they know what people mean about it and it just doesn't relate to them, it doesn't feel useful to them. Yeah. So we've been talking about this, and last week we were talking about our God boxes and how we always have to have a box we put God in so we can understand it and think about it and talk about it. We have language, experiences, ideas in there, but we have to acknowledge at the same time that that's never big enough. So we need to keep building bigger and bigger God boxes. And that's one of our DNA pieces with Fabric, to continue to be thinking about that, being aware that we need to be able to articulate and have ideas about God, but to know that they need to keep growing, that they're going to get outmoded quickly. And we have another DNA piece that's really important to us, and that's called the bus.
The bus.
The bus. The one that people go up and down in.
Oh, and, thank you for that earworm.
Yeah, that's right. I want my grandson to listen to this podcast. So that bus represents the people you need along with you in life so that you can also keep growing and just sort of stay healthy, keep your shit together. And so we want to see how these two things collide, how the bus runs into the box.
Look out, people.
Look out.
Collision.
I have a story. I mean, the story just totally popped in my head about, I wasn't in a bus, but I was in a car with my grandma. Love my grandma and love myself way back then. My naive self in the car. I was probably 18. And my dad was probably in there too, laughing, smiling quietly as I was like challenging my grandma's God box.
Ooh, that probably went over well.
Yeah, she was, I was asking why we couldn't, you know, take communion at her church when we were on the way home with her, and I know. And I just said something like, well, I just think God could handle it. I mean, God's big enough to handle stuff like, you know, what words someone says or uses or anything. And she was quiet, and then she said, well, Melissa, how big do you want God to be anyway? I was like, Grandma, really, really big. Anyway.
Yeah.
So I was kind of stretching her box, and she still loved me. She survived.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it felt like you were on her bus in that moment to stretch a little.
Yeah, and she was, you know, all my life on mine, right, as a model of a person who takes life and God seriously, you know?
And kind of how the bus works in life in general, but certainly as it starts colliding with your God box, is it's not always comfortable. It doesn't always resolve immediately, but you needed that interchange. I mean, who knows exactly where that went with your grandmother, and here you are, 75 years later, at the ripe old age of 93, remembering that story yet. You know, that's amazing. So obviously it affected yours as well. So this bus, we talk about six seats on this bus, and we think to represent some good and important roles on your bus to play. Let me just list them. It's the encourager and the truth teller. You need a mentor. You need learners. You need a stretcher. And you need the yin to your yang. Now, we'll talk about what those are as we go, but what's important to remember is that these are roles. They're not necessarily translated into people. And like with encourager, I hope you have more than one. I mean, you should have lots of encouragers on your bus. And likewise, some people are going to play more than one role, and that's good. I mean, that's just kind of how it is. But roughly, I think to be healthy and to continue growing and to have the capacity, the resources, the resilience to do that, having these people is really important to your life. And it's actually good to not just say vaguely, yeah, I think I have these people, but no, like, can you list? Can you tell someone who those people are?
Who plays that role?
Right.
Where does that role show up for me in a real person.
And I would even challenge you, have you told that person that they do this for you, that you look to them for that? I think that's a game changer, and we often are afraid to do that. Boy, if someone came to me and told me I played one of those roles, I would just be thrilled. Mm-hmm. You know, so why wouldn't I want to tell other people, right?
So what do we miss out on if we don't have those roles fulfilled in our life, in our bus, as we start exploring these AKA God strands? I mean, I think for me, it seems like it would be an easy route to either, you know, just sort of get swept into my own echo chamber of how I think God is or might be, or, you know, to get swept up in a similar kind of echo chamber that is handed to me by the culture, by the institutions around me, and not have that opportunity for continued growth and in a really rich and sustained way.
Yeah, when I think of a life where you're not examining or letting your God boxes grow, it starts to look pretty lonely to me too. Mm-hmm. And like, if I'm just in my box and I don't ever relate to people who have different ones, I'm going to have a pretty small existence, I feel like. Like a small life, a limited. I'm going to be alone and miss out on so much.
Human beings have this great capacity for cognitive dissonance. Like to have two things that do not belong together, but somehow through experience, we've learned to let them coexist. And we don't call it out for ourselves. We just won't. I mean, that's what cognitive dissonance is. I got these two sounds going on and I just let them continue to be there. So like I don't really expect God to give me the Mercedes-Benz when I pray for it, but at the same time, that's the kind of prayer I do all the time. You know, God, would you please do this? You know, could you, I have this test coming up, you know, and somehow I let those coexist without having it drive me further and say, okay, let's put those together and what makes sense and what doesn't. What maybe does prayer look like?
But what's wrong with that?
What happens when it isn't just that you want a Mercedes-Benz or you're hoping you get an A, not a D on that test, but it's actually your parent dying? And no matter how much you pray, cancer is cancer. I mean, people do die, and you're going to have to cope with that. What does it mean when you are needing to find your place in a world that needs voices for change, for hope, and it isn't about getting a goodie from God? It isn't about God being on your side and telling the people that disagree with you to be different, because that's not happening. In fact, they're doing the same prayer the other direction. I think we need our relationship with God to be at least as big as the challenges of our life and of our world.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's where we need. It's like the truth teller is this person that's on my bus that I keep around with me that looks for those things and somehow doesn't just tell me, that's wrong, but maybe just starts asking probing questions like, well, how do you make sense of this, Greg? I mean, I hear you talking about this, and see you doing that, and tell me more about that. And I get to tell it, and they're not going to pass judgment on me. Their job is to just to let me see what they see, and I'll have a hard time walking away from that, because now I see it, I hear it, I hear the dissonance.
I really want to talk to this coach that I heard interviewed the other day. I felt like she was in this using a God box, and I know it was really meaningful to her, but I felt like it was.
What did she do?
She, you know, coached this team through an amazing game, and then basically said, I can't remember the exact words, something like, this was divinely ordained. I mean, I just have to,
the win.
This championship was divinely ordained. And I just thought, you put so much work into preparing these kids, you know, and they put so much work in, and did they have to do that? Like, it just didn't make sense. I was curious, like, how did she put that together? And I love the thought of a dynamic woman leader like that having a richer, like, concept to share with the public and with her players, and like, that doesn't just seem so simple. I don't know. I sound kind of judgmental. I am being judgmental.
Well, you know, I think that as we kind of examine this, I think that's probably to be expected, and I have been known to be a little judgmental as well. But I think that there's something about trying to discern and trying to, like, make sense of some of these things so that we can really responsibly kind of communicate them that is worth it. Because small God boxes historically have not produced particularly good results for individuals or for society. And so I think in a lot of ways we have to have sort of a vested interest in trying to nudge that biggering of God boxes.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a difference, use the words perfectly, there's a difference between judgment and discernment. So when I hear that that portrayal of God, my discernment says, I don't think that works. Now, it's not my job to judge her and her God box. In fact, I will never get a chance to tell her that, and social media should not be a vehicle for those things. But it maybe asks me a question like, well, how do I understand it? Or how would I talk to someone about that? Or could I use this as a teaching example for my kids or my students or my learner, right? This is another seat on the bus. They have learners, and maybe you hear about this story in the news, and so next time you have a chance to talk to someone who looks up to you and maybe where you are spiritually, and you say, I heard this, and it really bothers me. What do you make of this? You know, and use it that
way.
And
we would both grow from it, yeah.
We both grow from it. Along with the learner, just on the other side of the aisle, is the mentor. You know, that you are being a mentor to your learner. And I think that's really important. I think the learner role is really important to have on your bus because, well, if you need to learn, someone else does too, right? And so who looks up to you, who trusts you, who values your experience and your wisdom and can do that? And then you're not only imparting something on them, but you're then sharing, you're being forced to articulate what you think and what you understand, your ideas, and so on. And when I have, well, I mean, everyone has said this forever, right? You learn by teaching. Mm-hmm. And when I have to articulate that to someone else and make sense, then I start seeing the gaps, the holes. I start seeing my own cognitive dissonance that's inside there.
Mm-hmm. And just like trying to make sense of it, right? Where if you haven't had to lay it out in a clear, cohesive way, then it can just sort of rumble around in the ether.
That mentor is who you are being to your learner, right? So who are those people whose experience and wisdom you respect? Like, they've gone down the road before, Chris, like you've named, and you really appreciate that. You respect them for what they do, and you know they think highly enough of you to spend time with you and to...
You have access to them, you have their support or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think you need disciplined time with these people. Make sure that you take time just to be around them and to learn from them. It's a truth teller. We talked to the learner, the mentor. I want to go back, though, to the encourager, right? This is, I think, kind of a balance of truth teller. Truth teller is, we need someone calling us out and letting us know what doesn't work, you know, the growing edges of ours to name them for us because we don't want to do it. But we also just need an encourager. We need people who think highly of us.
We need people who believe in us and can tell us it's okay. Where you are right now is that is totally okay. You're on a road. And we're together.
And they're fascinated by everything you're learning and thinking without judgment.
Without rushing you or they have faith in your unfolding.
Mm-hmm. They're also there to pick up your pieces because this God box progression is not always linear, going to bigger and bigger boxes. I mean, a lot of our God box splitting or breaking down and building up is really like a gut punch. I mean, part of your world just got taken away.
Yeah.
And you do not know how to operate in this next one, and you just need someone who's encouraging you.
Yeah, you can do this.
Yeah, and in some ways that's the person who sees the true you, the deepest you, right? Or at least in that direction, right? Looking toward the you that that you know that you can be and kind of helps draw that out for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and that's a good place to be. But pairing the encourager with the truth teller is important because if you don't have the truth teller there and you only have encourager, and I do encourage you to have more than one encourager, have lots of encouragers, they're wonderful, but they can become an indulger if they're not paired with someone else, or we use them that way, you know, to give us permission to not have to grow and
confirm all of our biases and
nod and smile and say, you're wonderful, Chris.
Yeah, right.
You're totally right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have the encourager role. We have this truth-telling role, a mentor, and someone that we are mentoring, a learner.
Yeah.
What else?
I like to have some people in my bus that just continue to surprise me with these amazing things that they do that I wouldn't have thought of.
Mm-hmm. Kind of provoke you into almost a wildness, right? Like an expanding curiosity, some other kind of expression that may not have been comfortable or natural or whatever for you.
Or I just would never have thought about
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I have a couple of friends who...
Those are the stretcher.
The stretcher,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, a couple stretching moments I had recently were like a friend who was painting, and it just floored me, that particular person. I was like, wait, you're painting? Mm. And then another one was like, yeah, I'm taking an improv class. And honestly, it was a God thing for both of them.
Mm.
It's a spiritual thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hadn't thought of, I just, yeah, I get it intellectually, but it was kind of surprising, mm-hmm. and it stretched me a little.
So I had a friend who went to a mosque and said they wanted to just kind of see what that's all about and understand a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Not a big agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And another friend, you know, taking yoga or learning meditation from a Buddhist monk and stuff like that. I mean, mm-hmm. just like, yeah, I think that sounds great. If I hadn't had you around me as an example, I wouldn't have thought of that. That sounds fantastic.
I've never even heard of that form of meditation or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But does that mean I have to, like, do all of it?
No.
Right.
No, it doesn't. But they provoke you to think a little bit bigger and to consider other possibilities and stuff. Because, I'm busy. I got my track and...
But just to be poked, like, oh, what could I stretch? How could I stretch, you know, be inspired by that? Yeah.
The last seat, which is similar to that one, but fundamentally different, is the yin to your yang. And that is the one who is just the flip version of you, who just fundamentally sees the world different, thinks differently. All your inclinations are not their inclination. Their inclination's not yours. If you're right-brained, they're left-brained. If you're logical, they're feeling. And, you know, if you're mental internal processor, they're verbal.
Mm.
But somehow you still...
You still connect.
Connect with each other or are connected in some way.
Or you discipline yourself to do it because this is really hard work being around that person.
Okay, remember, it's also hard for them, Greg.
Oh, yeah. I'm just such a gift to them. No, really, I mean, it's hard to be around each other, but that's a maturity thing, right? And that's also realizing that they're expressing a different kind of God box than yours, and I need that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I need to do it. I don't have to become like them, just like with the stretcher. I don't have to do everything and see everything the way they do, but somehow their way of experiencing and processing the world is something I need to kind of have a handle on, too.
Mm.
I mean, I need to consider that. It has to infect the way I do it, because as great as my way of doing the world might be, it's one way, you know?
Yeah.
You know, one place that I feel like I want to name with this is actually in... it kind of goes back to our judgmental comments before, but like, I feel like sometimes I need someone who is using a God box really similar to one that I used to have that can kind of look at what I'm looking at in a way that I, you know, likely would have or whatever, but to sort of remind and challenge in some of those ways too, because it's really easy without sort of examining my own sort of thoughts or path to just kind of start wandering off in a direction. So that gives me a little bit of empathy or sort of like it challenges my judgment of those people as well to look and say, no, I think there's something in there too. Can I humble myself enough to learn what it is that they're seeing?
Like an earnestness of prayer or something
sure.
like that.
Yep.
Like you used to pray really earnestly and now you're kind of
I got Greg's voice in my head saying, you know, no Mercedes Benzes anymore.
Porsches though. We're good on Porsches.
But then you can kind of say, wait, that box is still in my new box. Like what does earnestness look like in my new box? Or what can I learn? Yeah.
Yeah, some real practical implications of that would be like you're saying, like this person My judgmental side says that their box is much more primitive than mine, but boy, they really work it. I mean, they're way more devoted to theirs than I am to mine. I mean, they're very...
living it out with integrity, right?
Yeah. I have to be humbled by that, and I think I can learn from that. You know, again, the comparison, the judgmentalness is just useless, even though it's the place we automatically go. How can we stand and share with each other? And the purpose of my sharing is not that you adopt my God box or that I adopt yours, but that somehow our mutual experiences of all this God stuff somehow helps inform us and deepen us and helps us grow.
Mutuality, that is a big word. That feels really important to me.
In the bus?
In the bus,
yeah.
The giving and the receiving.